This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Things never said before. Sabres in Salt Lake City for a game tonight against Utah. First go around for Buffalo in Utah after falling to the hockey club in Buffalo earlier this year. But the Sabres now looking for 4 wins in the last 5. Welcome in with Marty. I'm Brian and MB43. How much do you wish you were in Salt Lake City tonight?
Oh, I wish. I got some very, there was some very picturesque pictures, I should say. It's a bad choice of words, but whatever.
Images.
Images. Yeah, that's right. Picturesque images on social media yesterday from, you know, the people that are there and, you know, the mountains and everything. So I wish I could see. Like, I haven't seen Seattle yet. I haven't seen Salt Lake City, obviously. This is the first time Sabres are going to be there. So those are on my list of let's have a road crew party in those cities over the next few years so I can go and visit. But the thing that's cool, so Salt Lake City, obviously, it was put together very quick. The Arizona Coyotes finished the season last year. All of a sudden, it's like, they're going to move. They're going to Salt Lake City. The season's over. You know, they get on the plane. They go meet the fans. It happens very quick. So the building tonight that you're going to see is a very interesting, not for hockey type building. The end zones where the goals are, there's about 5 rows of seat, and then it's a straight up shooting wall. And then the seats start up about, like, you know, 30 feet in the air because it's made for basketball to come all the way down to the floor. And we all know the basketball court is smaller than the ice rink. But the thing that's also cool, it's not just their game rink, Duffer. Like, their practice rink is a very unique type of situation, which the Sabres experienced yesterday with the ice rink inside a speed skating oval, the long track speed skating. And so the guys and the coaches took their lap around yesterday before their skates. So that would have been really cool. I would have enjoyed to.
Have you never done that?
I've never. Well, I've done the inline skating on the long track speed skating ring, but no ice. Like in the summertime in Quebec City, they would have the Guy Boucher. For those Canadians that remember Guy Boucher.
Did he win how many goals?
5 medals, I think. That's
5 medals, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. But so there's a track in Quebec City that's
no, and it was not Guy Boucher. That's the hockey coach. It was Gaétan.
Gaetan Boucher, not Guy Boucher. You're right. It's like David Brisebois and Julien Brisebois. Thank you. Thank you. It was not Guy Boucher. Guy Boucher's a coach. It was Gaetan Boucher. But anyway, it's a Gaetan Boucher oval. And in the summertime, you train on it. And I'll tell you this. Like, the Sabres look like they're having a lot of fun skating on that. It's a long track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the long track speed skating, it takes forever. So you're not going to go out there and do three or four or five laps. You're going to do one, and you're going to say, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I was fortunate to, of course, go to college and live in Calgary for a while and was able to benefit from their Olympic facilities and go out there and enjoy that. It was always an absolute treat. Just so different, you know, from what you typically experience in the confines of 200 by 85. So I'm glad the Sabres had that opportunity yesterday, and now they find themselves, and they will many times here down the stretch, against a team that is absolutely desperate in the playoff push. Utah starts tonight, 4 points out, and as we talked about earlier in the week, they got smoked 7-1 by Edmonton in their last game. So what should we expect tonight with Paterka coming back into the mix?
Okay, a little correction. Utah's 4 points back, and Gaetan Boucher won 4 medals. Two at the...
How many did Guy win?
Guy did not win. One, okay. Gaetan won a silver in Lake Placid, and 3 in Sarajevo in 84. So anyway,
I believe he was up against Eric Heiden. Was he not?
Oh, in 1980? I don't know about that.
Heiden might have won 5 gold medals.
He was, after Eric Heiden, who won all gold medals at that event. Yes, I'm reading.
1980 was a big one for me. It was a very, very, very influential year in my sports viewing.
Dude, Eric Heiden won gold in the 500, 1,000, 1,500, 5,000, and 10,000 meter races at the Lake Placid event.
Amazing.
What an accomplishment for a speed skater, just dominating, not just in short distance, long distance as well. So incredible. But okay, going back to Utah, 2002 Winter Olympics. That's why we have that Olympic kind of feel to it. They got spanked, and they did not look good against the Edmonton Oilers. Karel Vemelka had a tough night. So they put Jackson Stauber, in net for this one. But I expect Karel Vemelka is going to, you know, play as much as they need him to play this year to get back in the race. Vancouver somehow has found their way back into a playoff spot. St. Louis, Calgary Flames are right there. But Utah is a team that could be sneaky good. You look at their lines. You look at the players that they have. I mean, Logan Cooley is a great hockey player. Nick Schmaltz, I've always liked him. Clayton Keller is fantastic. So I think they've got some really, really strong young talent, and they're making a push this year. But in the next few years, Utah is going to be very competitive.
Only Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Jose have worse home records than Utah. However, the hockey club has been above the break-even line for the last 24 games, which is a pretty good sample size. They're 12-8-4, which is above NHL 500. They peaked this year at game 32. They were 16-11-5 at that point in time.
Yeah.
They proceeded to lose 10 of the next 12. And then they have righted the ship enough to stay in the mix here. So, and you honestly, like you mentioned Vemelka, you would be hard pressed to find a goaltender in the NHL who has as large a sample size against Buffalo, meaning like 5 games or more, and have a goals against and save percentage what Vemelka does. He hasn't been rewarded with wins and losses, but he's got a 1.83 and a 9.42 against Buffalo in 6 lifetime appearances. So he's been good, and he was part of it this year when Utah won 5-2 back in Buffalo, and it was a tough day for Luukkonen.
So it's kind of funny because when Karel Vemelka came to North America to play in the National Hockey League, or at least, you know, go to camp in Arizona, there may be was one person in the world that was watching Arizona Coyotes preseason games. And that person was you, Duffer, because we showed up to work the next day and you're like, hey, what do you know about that Vemelka kid in Arizona? And I'm like, Vejmela? Like, because there's a J in there that shouldn't be there. It's Vemelka, but they call him Veg. So anyway, you're like, yeah, he catches the other way. I'm like, I don't know anything about him. And he really caught your eye. And now over the years has had some ups and downs, but this year was an up year and a year where Connor Ingram started well, but now Connor Ingram is back into the players' assistance program. Fortunately, lost his mother this year to cancer. So it's been a hard year for Connor Ingram personally, but Vemelka has stepped up and played extremely well in Arizona and in Utah, which allows them to be where they are right now. And I do feel that Utah was going to be aggressive. I thought they were going to be more aggressive at the trade deadline. They really weren't that aggressive, but I think they will go into next year and to the draft and free agency and bolster that team. So can they get
Vemelka
in this year?
And got his extension already. So he got he's a huge part of this
paid.
Moving forward. Yeah,
he got paid, which is great. But I do feel that if they get in this year, that's great. But this is the start of what Utah is going to do. Like, I feel there is going to be some movement and some ads this summer with the hockey club or the Mammoth or the whatever they're going to be called.
Well, keep in mind, they were busy last offseason trying to retool the defense, bringing in Sergachev in a very, very, very high-profile deal and adding Sean Durzi, and then, you know, injuries across the blue line. That's why it was so impressive through 32 games that they were above 500, because they were still dealing with that huge blow to the blue line. So again, they're staying in it. And speaking of goaltenders like Vemelka, Carell can only hope to accomplish a portion of what Matt Vince has done during his best ever goaltending career in the National Lacrosse League. Mm-hmm. He is coming up here on the show as the Bandits have back-to-back games this weekend. They're home tomorrow. They're in Albany on Saturday. And we also have Shayna Goldman on this show. So this is it. I mean, it's a light lift for us having such top-notch guests, but it's a big one for our audience today.
We'll save our second best kind of info for tonight. Like, I feel like we have great guests, so this is going to be a great show. But, you know, all the pre-game talk and players, and I know that, you know, we look at J.J. Paterka is most likely going to play tonight, and in practice yesterday was J.J. Paterka with Tage Thompson in the middle, Alex Tuck on the right. What does that mean for Brett Murray, who I thought was played a really, really good game in the last game? He played, like, a few shifts in the third period. Lindy Ruff was trusting him because Brett Murray plays that style of game that is straight, and he's a big body and wins one-on-one battle. He's not flashy, but I think Lindy Ruff liked what he saw. But is he going to be in the lineup tonight, right? Is that going to be Mellenstein with Kozak and Lafferty, or are you putting Brett Murray in there just because, well, why not? He's on the trip. Mm-hmm. You've got him. Maybe you put him there. So Paterka coming back is definitely going to be something we'll pay attention at 8:30 tonight when we talk about the game on the pregame.
One of 14 games in the NHL
Crazy.
Tonight. Do you know?
Two last night.
I didn't do the math properly. Can you name two teams that aren't playing tonight? One of them got roasted last night.
Oh, so Seattle's not playing tonight. Okay.
Right.
The teams that played last night.
It's good for Seattle and probably the league that Seattle's not playing.
I listened to Dan Valsma talk about the game. He said, look, we didn't handle it
well. They had a bad
well.
2 minutes. I mean,
they had a bad 2 minutes. He said, we played well after that, just couldn't buy a goal. Gustafson was really good in net, but they did have a bad start to the game. So, I don't know who else is not playing. Usually I look at the teams that have played the night before.
Yeah.
So Toronto is in New York. Colorado is in.
Do your homework later. Pittsburgh's also not playing, and you can insert the other two teams later. So,
yeah, Colorado's in Ottawa. That's a big one tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
this is all stuff we get to dive in with Shayna here at the bottom of the hour. So,
She's got to have a field day with what's happening in the NHL these days. Like, Ovechkin 8 goals away and the playoff races, like, she must be loving it.
No Norris and obviously no Jiří Kulík because he is not on the trip. So amidst Paterka's return, we're still, hoping that at some point down the stretch here, they are able to recreate the full lineup.
I would hope so. I think those two pieces, though, of Josh Norris and Yuri Kulik are big, right? If they're not there. But to me, it still comes down to, like, Paterka, how is he feeling? Can he get right back up to speed? Because Thompson and Tuck have been really driving the bus, right? Offensively, it's been great. Look at the defense. They've been rolling Dahlin, Byram, and Power on three different pairs. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is also a big thing to look tonight. If that continues, and could that be what the Sabres mind or a future look into game one? Like, we want depth on the back end. We don't want to just load up a top pair, and we want all three of our top three guys to be on different pairs. That would be interesting to see. But yeah, I think Paterka, Thompson, and Tuck is probably the biggest thing to watch, because yeah, you're missing some offense in Norris and Kulik right now.
Maybe though, if you look further down the roster among forwards, and he had a more impactful game for sure against Boston. But where do you feel Jack Quinn is at based on the challenges that this year has presented? He's expected to line up tonight with Krebs and Greenway.
Okay, when I look at Jack Quinn, the biggest thing for me is, are you playing fast? And I know that sometimes players, and I know we've done that with players, like, what does that mean to you when you're being told you got to play fast? And they're like, I got to play fast, I got to play quick. Like, some guys don't know. If I'm looking at Jack Quinn, I'm showing him clips of the Boston game, is basically him moving the puck quickly. When he has the puck and he touches one, two, it's like, well, college football, basketball, right? March Madness is starting today. If you have the ball and you have to do like four or five dribbles before you get to the hoop, sometimes it's too late. The double team comes in and you don't have the shot, right? Like, Jack Quinn, it's one dribble and the puck should be gone. It's one dribble and you should be skating. It's one dribble and you should be shooting. Like, that's what I thought Jack Quinn did, and did well on that play, that he found Peyton Krebs on the power play. The puck went around the horn. It comes back to Jack Quinn. Boom. He didn't even stop it. He knew exactly where it was going to go. Jack Quinn is a smart hockey player. He has to use that to his advantage to make the game and to speed up his game. Know where he wants to go before he gets it. And that's been the problem for me for Jack Quinn this year. So many times he gets it, takes a step, takes another step, shoots it in a shin pad. Takes a step, takes another step, wants to make a pass, it gets caught. Like, you got to play quick in your decision-making. And I thought he did that against Boston. So that's the one thing I'm going to look for. And, you're just reminding me, I'll write it down on a piece of paper, but I sometimes put notes like, okay, what do I look for breakdowns in the intermission? And Jack Quinn, to follow up his Boston game, I think will be important to see how quick he moves the puck in Utah.
And obviously, above that line right now is the McLeod trio, which has Benson on one side and Zucker on the other. So the hope there, I mean, Zucker's been so prominent on the power play. Do you think that line has 5-on-5 capability at this point, based on the fact that, Benson has moved up and down the roster and I think carried himself pretty well when he did get a little top line ice time of late?
I had that discussion with my son last night, and we were talking about the Sabres line for next year. Now, I was trying to put the top two lines together, and I think Ryan McLeod has played himself into a really solid 2-3+ type of center. Like, he's not, to me, he's not playing like a third line center right now. He's playing like a top six, but not a high-end top six, but a good top six center. So I'm thinking, okay, if you have Norris there, are you moving Thompson back to the wing? And are you putting Kulik in your top six? Can McLeod play there? I just don't see Zach Benson being a top six guy. But I think Zucker can be. Zucker has definitely shown the production, but also the ability to play a game against other top lines from other teams. Wouldn't that be a great spot for maybe Jack Quinn to say, hey, right. Quinny, get yourself back up to speed here from now until the end of the season. Continue working on those things that really make you the best version of yourself. And how about having Jack Quinn on the right side with McLeod and Zucker next year? Maybe that's the hope here. I haven't seen enough of the Jack Quinn to say that's put in Sharpie on my lineup card next year. But I put that in pen and saying like that could be a possibility next year.
Do you think, have we seen more of Tyson Kozak in the NHL than you could have imagined this year?
Yes, I think we've seen more. It was a player that I really liked. I remember his first training camp and development camp, and it was like, man, look at this guy. He's everywhere. He's great defensively. It's been slow, and there's been some injuries, but I do believe that there's a possibility that if there's player movements this summer, a guy like Kozak could come in and maybe round up the fourth line and be in that role.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what the lineup looks like for the remainder of this trip. We know J.J. Paterka comes back in tonight against Utah. The trip continues with an afternoon game on Saturday against Minnesota and an afternoon game on Sunday versus Winnipeg before the club returns home on the 25th against Ottawa. The Bandits are home tomorrow. Best goaltender in NHL history is Matt Vince. He's with us now on Sabres Live. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I love listening to you talk hockey, too.
It looks like you're in a classroom. Like it looks like it's a blackboard behind you.
Yeah, well, this is my lunch break. So, lacrosse players have the luxury of working full-time jobs. So, and then playing lacrosse on the side.
So, what is this, like your classroom? Is it somewhere you usually just hang out or?
It's close to my office. I teach mostly phys ed. I have a kinesiology class, but basically pretty much just my...
There's a classroom nearby that was I thought would be quiet. People have an interview.
Yeah, we assume that all the time too, and then people are like, "Why is it so loud in there?" But anyway, that's our problem for sure. Matt, how would you describe after the 7-0 start the last 5 weeks that have the Bandits still in first place at 10-2 overall?
Yeah, I think looking at the last, even before the our first loss, I think we've been kind of getting by. We haven't had a lot of clean games from start to finish. A little bit of slow starts, some penalty trouble has had us, having to claw back in some of those games, which we're, that's what a good team does, is we were able to find ways to win in the fourth quarter. And then the two losses, the one, I think we actually blew a lead and late in the game. And then the last one at home was a tough one in front of a sellout crowd.
You may not want me at any of your games because I was at the home game against San Diego. So that was the first loss of the year. I'm sorry I caused that to happen. But I noticed, and we've talked about it with Steve Priolo before, and like you give up a goal and you guys quickly look at the Jumbotron, the video scoreboard, what happened. I hate it as a goalie to ever look at the scoreboard. I never wanted to see if I did good or if I did bad. It was like for later in the, the next day to review. But you do it right on the spot. Like, what's the conversation with your teammates? But how does that get you ready for the next one? Because it looks like you're doing, self-assessment right then.
Yeah, it's something that where I think as a goaltender, I grew up as a hockey goalie. So, you're used to giving up, two goals, three goals, and then you play lacrosse in the summertime and now you're giving up 12. It's a different mindset. So you need that quick turnaround, and I just found it a great way to talk and have a dialogue on maybe what they did right, what we could work on. And then it's kind of reset and move on to the next save type of thing. That's kind of my thought process. Marty, that it's a lonely place back there in the crease sometimes, and nobody, you don't get to talk to too many people. So I use that time to be able to talk to my teammates and voice my concerns, or they can voice their concerns to me, and then we move on from it.
Is there ever anything amusing said in a situation like that, just to try to lighten it a bit and get back to what you need to do?
Depends on who's back there, but usually if it's Steve and myself, it's usually pretty businesslike. But we've had some characters in the past that would say something funny.
you know, it might be my fault or whatever it is, but you know, sometimes try to just try to like ease the tension a little bit, and sometimes that's a great thing for us.
What's your routine? I mean, obviously you talk about, and we talk a lot about, you've been around for a long time. I'm sure the routine has changed over the years. So how do you prepare yourself physically and mentally, like every game? And this weekend, it's like back to back. Like that means the routine is going to change. But how do you prepare yourself?
Well, the one thing for physically wise, I do a lot of the same workouts. I journalize everything. And so just to say, for example, that Calgary week where we got blown out, I never did those workouts ever again. Like that they're out. They're out there. So I try to stay with what works, you know, whether it's food, you know, film. And then the day of the game really gets geared up into not so much superstitions. You know, as a hockey goalie, and I love Patrick Waugh growing up, and it was more routine. I just want to get myself in the place, right mindset, where I'm going to play well. And hopefully it doesn't involve too many other people or outside factors, because then that can be problematic. And I think as I've gotten older, I've been less routine oriented, because there's so much stuff that you can't control. So you just try to do some of the things that you can. You know, whether it's, you know, putting on your equipment one side at a time, or who takes the last shot on, you know, warm up, those type of things you can control. And, I try to stay on those.
Do the guys talk to you, or do they stay away from you in the locker room before the game?
I think, that was a big thing. Like, don't talk, like, why are you talking? But like, I've been trying to, as I've gotten older, try to have a little bit more fun. And, you know, whether it's, you know, being involved, singing the songs in the dressing room, or dancing in warm up, just so they can see that I'm not untouchable type of thing, which some guys will still do that because they're so used to that's ingrained in them that, you know, you don't talk to the goalie. That's going to throw them off or whatever. But I think a lot of the guys that I'm really close with on the team will talk to me and have
and they think we're crazy. They're the one that are crazy. They think they can't talk to a human being before a game. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some guys, which, you know, even players, there's going to be players you can't talk to a little bit before games as well. And I think as I've gotten older, that's something that I've been trying to change a lot. You know, because, you know, this isn't going to last forever, and you want to enjoy as much as you can of it.
Real quick, true or false, Swedish fish are a part of your routine?
Oh, that has become a part of my routine. It's super weird, but, I don't want to say how many I had, because there's not a lot of them. So if they buy them a like the Sam's Club bag for me, then they're wasting a lot of them. But it has something to do with my number. So it's a very small amount, but it has worked for me. In the game I didn't have it, our equipment guy and, you know, people that are close to the team, they said, we were in Toronto. They don't sell Swedish fish in Toronto. So now they have to travel with Swedish fish.
That's so amazing.
Tom Askey, who is Ryan Miller's backup in Rochester for years, but also played in the Cincinnati and Mighty Ducks organization, he had a Kit Kat in his locker, and he wouldn't eat it until after the game if he felt he deserved it, something like that. And so if he was mad at himself, the Kit Kat stayed in the locker, and he didn't get it as a reward. Like, that is, you know, kind of the same thing. Like, you know, food, you know, routine, or, you know, kind of superstitions, but I do like it. I think that's part of having fun, right? It's just, it can't just be, I got to go in and make saves. Like, yeah, you got to have fun with other things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it brings other people into the mix a little bit. It's funny now that I didn't know that was going to be a thing, but they know, and our one guy, Dan Racine and Casey, they make sure that I have Swedish fish every, or whatever, the mini fish before every game.
And it can't not the be big Swedish ones, berries. It's the mini one, too. Yeah, it has to be the mini one.
Yeah, it can't be the Swedish berries that they sell where I'm from or in Canada, but it's got to be the mini fish.
Matt, good luck this weekend. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
There he is, Matt Vince, winningest netminder in NLL history, 8-time goaltender of the year. And tomorrow night in Bandit Land, it's Mental Health Awareness Night. There'll be a fan wall mural on the 100 level where fans can leave encouraging messages. We'll have Best Self Behavioral Health, mental health advocates, Horizon Health Services, Morgan's message. all set up in the concourse to meet and talk with fans. It's just another great step in professional sports and connecting with people. And we look forward to seeing you there. Bandits.com/tickets. When we come back, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic as we get it back on the ice. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We dealt future considerations to get Shayna Goldman on a day early.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is here from The Athletic, Darren Dreger tomorrow, unless he and Marty have their ongoing rift over being Insider A and Insider B. More on that later. Shayna, how are you?
I'm great. No, I want to know more. I need the tea on this beef over here.
Oh, there's 100% no beef. I just, I had a conversation with Dregs yesterday morning because I had been talking to the medical staff in Montreal after the Josh Anderson cut, and they needed to get me some clarification, but they needed Anderson's approval. So then he said, yeah, that was the first time he ever wore the cut resistant socks. But in the meantime, I told Dregs, and Dregs was in Florida, and I think they taped their basically Sports Center hit early in the morning so they could fly back. And then I mentioned it on the show, but I told him, use it, whatever. I don't need it. So, yeah. So we both had the same story kind of yesterday, which was...
But Darren chose no attribution.
There was no attribution. Marty. I don't need attribution.
No, we need attribution. Everyone is so quick to say they did it first. So when I saw the clip this morning, I was like, wait, this is sick. Got to instant retweet that. That's my insider.
Well, what are you breaking these days? Like, what's your content that you feel really strong about and that you're most passionate about right now?
Well, I'm not breaking anything. Like, that is not for me. That life is not for me.
That's not true. You have done such work over the summer and free agent signings. So, yeah.
I am here to break down.
Yes.
Mediocre teams in the wild card race and things of that nature. And also, faces in new places. That's going to be my vibe next week, which I'm very excited about. I love seeing how players adjust to their new surroundings, different systems, different line mates. And I love watching that progression over a couple games where, you know, you think of, the Marty Natchez trade. He was in the lineup, 12 hours later with the Avs. And you could see a couple things off, and they played back-to-back games. Game two, you could just see it clicked for him suddenly. Mm-hmm. Just like that, that quickly. So I love watching that.
Okay, so Joseph Woll gets a second consecutive game. Like Craig Berube in Toronto said, I need to probably figure out who my guy is. So he gave Stolarz a couple of games, and now he's given Joseph Woll a couple of games. And he was unreal against Colorado last night in a big 2-1 win. I never would have bet money on Joseph Woll to be their starting goalie game one in the playoffs. But could it be trending that way in Toronto, Shayna?
Yeah, it could be. And it's always interesting to see how the ebbs and flows of the season affects a goalie, because you thought the beginning of the year how Stolarz really emerged when he needed to, and he was able to play those consecutive games and play heavy workload. But if Joseph Woll can handle going on a roll and play consecutive games, why not? He was good in the postseason when he's been used in the past. So, sure. And it's not like that he's going to have, I would imagine at least, the toughest workload, because the Leafs are so defense first and so boring in doing it. But, you know, I think it's a very good thing to learn that now. I want to see Washington do it as well, because I can't imagine that even rotation to the postseason either.
Great chase continues tonight for Ovi as the Caps host Philadelphia. I asked Marty yesterday. I'll ask you today. Time is starting to run out. He needs 8 goals. Will he get it done this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like he's a man on a mission. He's playing so well. I think the thing that's going to be tricky is how much his teammates are going to be forcing the passes to him too, going we have to get him to this milestone. And I sometimes think that that can hurt a player, because already I'm sure defenders are going to be shading towards him with that in mind. So I hope he's still passing the puck a lot, and you see a lot of puck movement from that top line in Washington, but I will be shocked if he doesn't get it.
So it's kind of like last year, like the Toronto Maple Leafs kept trying to feed Austin Matthews for 70 goals, right? And it looked awkward. But I, you know, been paying attention to the Washington Capitals a little bit more lately, and I feel like they're not overdoing it. And that's probably why Ovechkin is scoring. And that's why the team is successful, because they're still playing their game. But if you had to basically put a date on when it happens, would it be more fun if Ovechkin does it at home against whatever, the New York Islanders or whatnot, or last game of the season in Pittsburgh against Sidney Crosby?
I mean, either way, I think you're getting something entertaining, right? Like, it's there's no wrong answer here, because if you go up against
the Islanders, he has to do a better celebration than when he did the one with the hot stick. Like, that was awful. Like, you got to do something better.
Yeah, I feel like he's one of the best goal celebrators. Like, whether or not he has scored the goal, he is pumped. He is hyped. So I hope he's over the moon for this. I really do, because this is such a moment, tying the record and then, you know, obviously beating the record. I think the perfect storm would be tying the record at home against the Islanders. It seems they've played a lot in the postseason, you know, division rivals. I think it'll be a good game. And if the Islanders are still fighting for the playoffs somehow by then too, I think it adds a little more heat to it. And then break the record with Sidney Crosby across the way on the ice. Like, there is your perfect happy medium.
Eastern Conference race. You look tonight, Ottawa is in action. The Rangers are home to Toronto. Columbus is home to Florida. The Islanders and Montreal clash. When you look at this right now, what or who do you think has the upper hand? Let's just focus on wild card two, based on how tight it is between the Bruins and Canadiens, and six teams being separated by 4 points.
Okay. I am going to go with the Montreal Canadiens right now. And yes, I'm cheating because they are in wild card two, but I think they're getting hot at the right time. And I think it's been really encouraging to see their young guns are the ones leading the way. That top line right now, since Four Nations, of Slafkovský, Suzuki, and Caulfield, they're outscoring opponents 11-4. Is their shooting percentage super high? Yes, it's like 13.6%. And their expected goal differential isn't where you want it to be, and they're outscoring expectations by, I think, about 5.5 goals. So all of that says to me it's not the most sustainable. But when you consider the shooting talent, and I think the way that they're trying to push the pace of play along the way, and they're not getting complacent, that top line, I think it's a really good thing. And I think even seeing that last game against Ottawa, when Lane Hutson scored that goal, that was massive, because this is someone who does not shoot the puck enough. He's a great distributor. So I think getting that confidence is going to help him. Add in Sam Montembeau, who's playing lights out. I think he has 8 quality starts in his last 9 games since Four Nations, if I remember correctly. That is so impressive to me. So I think the building blocks are there. And if the game against the Senators is indicative at all of what's to come, you're going to see more contributions from Dvorak and Gallagher and Anderson, who really picked up the pace and are providing the secondary scoring that they've been missing.
Are you trusting Linus Ullmark to take the Ottawa Senators, not just in the playoffs, but maybe a little further? And the reason I'm asking is because since the Four Nations faceoff, it looks like we've got the highlight reel save of Ullmark, and then he won 5 in a row, and the Ottawa Senators had won 6 in a row. But in 10 games, his goals against average is over 3, and his save percentage is .897 since the Four Nations faceoff. Like, the great game against Detroit, where he steals the game, 48 saves in 49, but only 2 times in 10 is he given up less than 3. Like, are we trusting that they have the best of Ullmark right now, or is it more Ottawa is getting the job done like everywhere else?
I think Ottawa is getting the job everywhere else, and he's coming up with the key saves at key times, right? Because as much as you need to come up with all of the saves, right? And if you face 40 shots, it sometimes comes down to the timeliness of those saves and being able to in the big moments. And I think he's rising to the occasion on that front. I also think we saw him play really well earlier this season. If I remember correctly, it was in December. He had that like stretch of 12 straight starts before he got injured where he was just lights out. Yep. So if he can get that back, and I know coming back from Four Nations, he had only played so much. He was injured before that. I'm sure there was a lot of rust. If he can, you know, just keep trending up from here, I think it's encouraging. The fact that the team is doing a lot more, because back in December, he was the difference, right? And the team wasn't scoring enough goals. Their shooting percentage was low. Their expected goal generation was low. And the defense was still a work in progress. If everyone in front of him can play so much better, and he can trend up along the way and give them the support they need, I think it's more of a full team effort, which is what you want to have into the postseason anyway.
Are you avoiding the Islanders on purpose?
I'm not, but this team, every time you think they are done, they come right back and they're like, no, we're still here. And it's
Undertaker.
It literally is. And it's not enjoyable. Like, I'm sorry. It is not enjoyable enough. Okay. I know everyone's going to like nitpick me and be like, of course she doesn't like the Islanders. No, it's not that I don't like the Islanders. I truly don't think the team roster strength is there. I think Noah Dobson's been great since coming back from injury. That's really encouraging now and in the future. I think Ilya Sorokin is truly the guy for the Islanders. But Matthew Barzal was their best player and obviously is done for the regular season. They lost Brock Nelson. And I just feel like they are only still in this race at this point because they come up with a couple clutch wins and everyone else around them is so bad. So they are not the team I would have my eyes on in the race. I would say it's probably Montreal is my number one, and I'm going to go Columbus as my number two because, yes, they have special teams issues like the Islanders. They're not nearly as dire. The Islanders' special teams on both ends of the ice have been terrible all year, but the return of Sean Monahan and Merzlikins coming back now that he's practicing again with the team after missing two games, I'm more encouraged by that.
I hope you're right. On the Jacket side, they've lost four in a row, and the offense is completely dried up. But, yeah.
If the Rangers miss, are we seeing Peter Laviolette having to find himself a new job next year?
I think that happens regardless of whether they make or miss the playoffs. I thought there were times, numerous points of the season, he was going to lose his job. And I think at times, everyone just blamed the players. The players quit on the team. The players aren't playing hard enough. And all of that's true, right? There's no doubt about that, especially in that November-December stretch. But I don't think he has the ideas tactically to push this team where it needs to be. I think his system, he stays with it a little bit too much, and I think it runs its course everywhere it goes. And listen, in the NHL, that's just the way it is. I think the average tenure is down to 2.3 years among active coaches right now, which is the lowest among all four professional leagues. But there's a reason he is a part of that problem, right? And not the solution to it. The system teams take, they know it, they learn it, they scout it. So it gets predictable after a while. And I think there's just too much wear and tear on the players. I think they need to go with someone a little bit more innovative and a little bit more different than Laviolette after this year, regardless of what happens.
The Sabres are in Utah tonight. The hockey club is still in the mix. They're 4 points out. Do they have a chance?
At the beginning of the year, this was my wild card pick. I was all in, and they have let me down in this race. And while there are some encouraging signs, the fact that Logan Cooley and Barrett Hayton look like they could be like legit top six centers in the long run, I just think that this team has set themselves a little bit too far back from the race when you look at everybody else around because, you know, the Flames have Dustin Wolf. They hate scoring goals. So they're not really my team to watch, but it's Vancouver and St. Louis right there because Vancouver, if Elias Pettersson is going to play like he has the last couple games and be this engaged, that is a great thing.
They play tonight.
I know. I am so excited for that game. I am so glad it is a 7:30 start because tonight's schedule, there's far too much quality hockey, all starting at the same time. I was thinking initially like, oh, cool, 10 o'clock game. Perfect. That is the primetime game to watch. No, it's an early game because it's in St. Louis, but I will take a 7:30 over a start on the hour every day of the week.
You know what? I was thinking about you on Tuesday night, Shayna, because I had to do some TSN work and there was like 12 games and whatever. And the early games all started at 7 and then there was no games until 9, I believe. And when I got to the first intermission, trying to catch like four games at the same time and take notes, I was like, thank goodness I've got the first intermission. I can go get something to drink, maybe get a snack. Like I had a, like a 20-minute break. So I get that it's fun when you can jump from game to game. But like for you, I was thinking for your benefit, sometime having no games being played for 15 minutes is good. You can take a little break and go for a walk or something. No?
No, not enough. I wish. I'm like looking at the numbers of the games I'm watching and trying to catch up and like check on other highlights. It's overwhelming to me. And there's an easy, very simple solution. I'm not even saying, oh, put games on the half hour on weekdays because I know, you know, not everyone wants a 7:30 start on Monday night. And I'm not going to argue with that. But Wednesday, there were two games. Tomorrow, a Friday night, there is one game. It is Columbus-Pittsburgh. Most people aren't even going to be able to watch it because it's on NHL Network. It's so simple. Have five or six games and make those your lighter nights still. But you don't need 14 games on a Thursday on a Thursday night. On Saturday, it's nicely staggered, sure, but on a Thursday or Tuesday, it is ridiculous. So
we're
a
Tuesday, Thursday league, right? And Saturday league. Saturday. But I think that we should have more games. Like, 8 would be the max in a night. Yeah. Like if you want, 8 is the max I would go in a night. Like 14 is way too much.
On a Saturday, if you want to have your like wild Saturday, go ahead. And I know it's so funny because people are like, well, they don't want to compete with this and that. You're competing with college football most of the year, right? So that argument's like null and void to me. But yeah, if 8 on a weeknight, fine, perfect, great. And then on the weekends, load it up. You're not going to hear any arguments from me. But to have 4 light nights of the week where there's no hockey, like own Friday night. Nobody wants Friday night.
I'm just glad you didn't start the segment by talking about baseball. Thank you for joining us.
Because I did that yesterday. Look, the Dodgers won 2 in a row.
Yeah, they did.
Dodgers. Shannon, messed it up for the league.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shannon Goldman from The Athletic will wrap up Sabres Live after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres, Utah, tonight in Salt Lake City. We're on the air with 8 at 8:30 with pregame coverage. By the way, Washington versus Philly, the Capitals can become the first to clinch a playoff spot tonight.
Yes.
And I'll give you one guess as to the only team in the American Hockey League that has clinched a playoff spot.
Okay, well, that has to be the... Because it's Washington related, is that Hershey?
2-time defending champion Hershey already has an X beside the name.
I read your line. Yes.
What a run organizationally! Wow,
it is pretty incredible. I would have thought. Look, the way Laval and Rochester were running hot for a little bit.
Laval's still hot. They're 7 up now on the Amerks, who have 3 games this weekend: Friday, Saturday, Sunday, including Bills Day on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Yeah, let's go Amerks. Let's get it going. And I would anticipate Levi to play a couple again. Like you played 3-3, go Friday, Sunday, and keep going. Like I mean, this is, you know, the run to playoffs and trying to go for Calder Cup. We know, Duffer, how fun it is in Rochester in springtime when they have playoffs and the beautiful weather, and we're out at, Genesee, and it's awesome.
All right. You got a 10-second pregame show?
No, I'm going to watch basketball now. I'll focus on the game at 8 tonight, 8:30 pregame.
Sounds good to me. We'll see you then on MSG and, of course, the game right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.